Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We'll be concentrating this morning on verse 16, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. May the Lord add his blessing to his reading. Whenever people hear that it's a stewardship day, people automatically assume that we're going to talk about money and tithes and offerings. And if you ever want to have an afternoon program in a church and there is nobody there, say you're going to have a stewardship afternoon in this country. I recently went to the General Conference to attend a meeting, and I realised that stewardship in other parts of the world was not taken so glibly. And stewardship is not just about money, it involves so many other things. And probably I don't know if you've seen this or not seen this, but we recently had a survey about tithe and offering. It was in the Messenger on BUC News. The survey is now closed and we will be giving out the results in a few months' time. And also stewardship, the heart of stewardship is about God first. That's what it's about, God first. Not about money. It's about God first in your life. And so one of the things that we have done, the British Union was commissioned by the General Conference to create a time management seminar for the World Church. It's been approved by the General Conference, and we'll be launching this in June of this year. So please do look out for it. The time management program that any church member can do on their own. It's ideally done in a bigger group, but please look out for that. And you'll see some really exciting things there. And we've included quite a lot of different people in creating it. So please look out for that. Can we just offer a word of prayer now? Lord, I didn't plan to stand up here this morning. But Lord, you know things that I don't know. And Lord, like all of us, our lives are in your hands. But Lord, I noticed that even though I wasn't aware of the hymn or the children's story, they all fit into what I'm going to say. So Lord, you have been in this amendment, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 1:16, the 14th of July, 2021. Time stopped, and in that moment, my mother took her last breath, and that one moment changed me. Now, when I was a child, I recall my mother's Protestant work ethic that hummed in the background of our three-story house in London. It was the quiet engine that demanded early mornings, hours in piano practicing. I mean, I used to practice the piano for 6 hours on a Sunday. It was that serious. No TV, homework, and often learning by heart the coming Sabbath's mission story. My mother worked tirelessly. Just to add this here, all of those things, work ethic was very strong around those things, but I wasn't allowed to do any housework. I was never allowed to do any housework. So the first time I did housework was 25 years ago when Dev and I got married. Just to let you know that. My mother worked tirelessly outside of the home. As a senior nurse in a large hospital, she worked the night shift for many years. She worked on our birthdays, she worked all of the holiday seasons, and she worked every Saturday night after sunset. My mother taught me about Kronos. So remember that word, Kronos. The brutal linear march of time. She spent much of her life trying to outrun the ticking clock, always preparing for tomorrow that she often forgot to inhabit the hours she was living in. But before I move on, let me just say, this is an observation born of hindsight. It's not a critique, okay? As I get older, I simply understand more about the invisible clocks she was fighting against, many of which I now battle. Living with my mother taught me the value of timekeeping, the necessity of deadlines, the ability to plan and follow through. And the finances that she amassed not only supported her family, provided inheritance for her grandchildren, but funded the mission of the church in a myriad of ways. That was my mother. My grandmother embodied Kairos. So the first word I taught you was Kronos. My grandmother embodied Kairos. And I'll explain that as we go through. She possessed an uncanny, quiet wisdom, never rushing to fill a silence or force an outcome, but always arriving exactly when she was needed. My grandma was a woman who lived as though God was sitting next to her. I can still hear her quietly humming, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." Her entire approach to life seemed to echo the passage from page 83 of The Desire of Ages, grounded in a thoughtful daily contemplation of her faith. And that passage reads, "It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. As we then thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, our confidence in him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we will be more deeply imbued with his spirit. If we will be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross." For my grandmother, Sabbath was a sanctuary in time, and her reverence for it began long before the day arrived. Friday afternoons were dedicated to readying ourselves for its arrival. We would polish our shoes while she meticulously ironed our clothes. She was so determined to honour the sacred threshold that an hour before the Sabbath even began, she would sit us in quiet anticipation, waiting to welcome it. So you see, I was brought up in a very strict Adventist home. While as a child, I learned the value of Kronos and Kairos from my mother and grandmother. But as an adult, I became fully aware of the biblical mandate for Christian time management. Now, it's more than about strict organization, less procrastination and self-productivity, and more about the rule of God in your space. Now, several years ago, when I finished a course of study, and I actually got into a university to study time management at doctoral level. And it was the most fascinating thing, because I wrote this proposal and I didn't expect anybody to take me seriously. Okay, I thought, it's a bit kind of bizarre, you know, it's kind of a bit weird. Susan's worked with me, she knows how weird I can be at times. So I didn't think it would take it that, I thought they wouldn't accept it, and they did. But in that course that I was pursuing, one of the things that happened was I had to attend four times on Sabbaths for 4 years. And I refused to attend four times on Sabbaths. So I started the course really excited about it. And God was good. In that course, I was given a bursary, and a very nice bursary to complete the doctoral program. And my professor spoke to me and he said, "You need to come on these Sabbaths." And I said, "I can't come on these Sabbaths." And he said, "You need to come." I said, "I can't." I said, "I'll do the work, but I'm not coming on Sabbaths." And then he said to me, "Kathy, it's a four-year course. If you come on one Sabbath out of the 4 years, you can stay on the course. But if you don't, you have to leave the course." And I cried and I left the course. But at that time, I started to realize the Sabbath was really important. that sacred time was really important. When we look at time, the Sabbath is very important, but all the time we have in the world is extremely important. Now, this year, I turn a special age. I wish it was 21. I wish I could say it was 21, but people like Mervyn, who've known me for a long time, and my husband and Susan will know that it's not 21. And look at Patriarch Moses, and Moses reflected on the 4,000 weeks of life, and he says, teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Are we numbering our days? And it doesn't mean ticking it off the clock or the calendar, but are we numbering our days? How do we spend our time? Now, there is a statistic which is very interesting. How many of you here like cats? You like cats. How many of you here have a cat? How many of you here watch cat videos? How many cat videos do you think there are on YouTube? Just on YouTube. These tiny little cat videos, reels. How many of them do you think are there? There are over 20 million cat videos. Most watched thing in the world are cat videos. And they predicted that if you watch them for just, let's just say a minute or so, that it would take you 120 years to watch the cat videos. Now, when I looked at this statistic when I was doing some research, I wondered, the Bible says we're to redeem the time. We read the scripture this morning, and it says to number our days. How do you spend your time? Because we are always criticizing the young people for being on their phones, but you go on a train and you go into a doctor's surgery and you have the elderly hunched over on their phones. Everybody is hunched over on their phone or on a tablet or on a computer. We're all going to have massive issues with our necks, with our backs, because we're all doing the same thing. But are we numbering our days? Because we're actually wasting time. We thought years ago that watching television was a waste of time for many people, but now we have these tiny little screens in our pockets. And they even tell you every week how much time you have spent on them. Have you noticed how much time you have spent on your phone? Now, granted, your phone has your messages on it. It might be checking your blood pressure. It's your camera. You're checking messages on your email. So it has a multi-use purpose. But how many hours are you spending on your phone going through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and just scrolling? Teach us to number our days. So when Moses says this in Psalms 90, verse 12, we're introduced to a broader understanding of time. The finite nature of life is exposed while the readers discover the omniscience of God who existed before the mountains were born, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we learn that God exists beyond the boundaries of moments, minutes, hours, days, months, and years. The concept of God existing outside human time is a profound theme throughout the Bible. The Apostle Peter states in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. This verse directly addresses the difference between human and divine time. It intimates that God is not bound by the ticking of the clock. Vast stretches of history and a single fleeting moment are equally present to him. So let's go back to Cronus and Kairos. Cronus is sequential, measurable time. So Cronus is you arrive to church at 10 o'clock. Now, if you come from certain cultures, you should be here at 9:45. If you come from other cultures, coming in at 10:30 is fine. It's still 10 o'clock. So, you know, I've been to weddings before. I've played at weddings. And, you know, the bride will, somebody will phone the bride and say to the bride, you know, it's 2:00. Where are you? I'm coming. And I'm coming means I'm not yet dressed. Okay, in certain cultures, I'm not yet dressed. I remember playing for a wedding and I ran out of music. I played for 2 hours. I got really, really tired and there was no more music to play. I had to start again. And so Chronos is sequential, measurable time. When the biblical authors wanted to express a duration of time or delay or the passing of years, they used the word Chronos, okay, as in Acts 14, verse 3. But Kairos, on the other hand, is not simply time. It's the opportune or appointed moment. And in Ephesians 5, it says here that Paul actually says to the Christians to redeem the time, which is Kairos, because the days are evil. Seize the God-given opportunities that are available for personal and spiritual growth. So Kairos is saying, you know what? I'm tired today, but let me phone Denise and find out how she is. Let me take that opportune moment to do that. I heard she was unwell. Let me take that moment to do that. So Kairos isn't just about the moment. It's taking that moment and expanding it for God. How are we seizing the opportunities for God? So centuries have passed and the coming of Jesus is at hand. And it's very interesting, when we were growing up, we heard that Christ was coming. And I did not think I would get to this age. Did any of you? I did not think I would get to this age. I didn't think, but the urgency of Christ coming to me when I was 5 and 7 and 12, I didn't think I'd reach a 21. I thought he was going to come. I saw the signs then, but the signs are very different today. It's much crazier today. And Paul writes them in Romans 13, verse 11. He says, "We need, the hour has come to wake up from the slumber because our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Our salvation is much nearer than we first believed." And you look around the world and you couldn't imagine some of the things happening. You know, I grew up in an age where there were not mobile phones. Does anybody remember that age in England? Where you had to go into, your parents might have had a phone, but it was locked. Do you remember that? And the phone actually had a lock on the phone, and you weren't allowed to use the phone. And if somebody called for you, your parents asked, why were they calling for you? Because you were wasting time. And now we've gone from that to cordless phones, to large mobile phones, to small mobile phones, which only parents had. And now, if your child doesn't have a mobile phone in secondary school, apparently they're deprived. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so life has become different. And before, we could control our children's time in their teenage life. It's much harder now. But the thing is, life is different. You know, we talk about AI. AI is one of the best servants, and it's a very, very, very dangerous master. Very dangerous master. I've got nothing against it. I use AI in different ways, but it's a dangerous master. Did we think that would happen? Did we think that driverless cars would be here? We saw it in the black and white versions of Star Trek, for those people who had the TV, but we didn't realize it was, and it's here. You know, we talked about, biometric scanning, and we thought it was like from the enemy. It's here. You go through the airport, you go and travel, and you just, you know, your eyes get scanned, your palm gets scanned. It's here. It's right here. And where has the time gone? Where has it gone? And if we don't be careful, we will wake up and God will be here and we won't even know. As Christians living on the edge of eternity, we need to be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking how he may devour. Ellen White, speaking in Christophic Lessons, and I noticed Martin used it quite a lot, Christophic Lessons this morning. She says this: we have no time to waste, no time to devote to selfish pleasure, no time for the indulgence of sin. The time that has been wasted can never be recovered. Now, at the beginning of every year, we always say that everything resets itself. No, it doesn't. Time is not cyclical. It's linear. You know, you will not get today back, ever. You will not get the moment back, ever. We will never sing the hymn "Redeemed" at the same time again. It's gone. And she says that time wasted can never be recovered. We cannot call back one moment. The only way that we can redeem our time, she says, is by making the most of what remains, by being co-workers with God in his great plan of redemption. And that's taken from Christ Object Lessons, page 342 to 343. So, I want you to think of your life. Think about the way you spend your time. Are you spending your time in service for God? Are you spending your time in gossip? Are you spending your time watching cat videos, endless rounds of cat videos? Are you spending your time complaining? Are you spending your time doing something meaningful? Are you spending your time in pleasure? As I reflect on my early life, I can truly say that God blessed me with two caregivers who taught me how to value time through order and organization and find opportune moments for his glory. As you manage your time, view it in the light of the coming of the Lord Jesus and ensure that all your activities are grounded in the Bible and focused on the mission of the church. I want you to take just a minute just to have a private prayer with God about your time, because none of us know how any of us use our time. And to say to God, God, I want to dedicate my time to you. Because time is a really valuable asset. And remember, I've been to quite a lot of funerals quite recently. And while I was at the General Conference, we had a seminar by one of the previous treasurers. And I remember asking him the question, what one thing, looking over your life, what one thing stands out to you? And you know what he said to me? I would do less. And that really hit me. Are we running around? I listened to Martin's lesson this morning. Are we running around trying to find ourselves and be somebody? And we rush and we do and we're constantly just going back and forth. What would we do differently if we had to do it over again? He said, I'd do less. He said, I'd do less and I'd less better. As a church worker, I'm sure Mervyn can attest to this, and Alan can attest to this, and Des can attest to this. We run around stupidly. We don't spend time with our families. We travel a lot. We're always somewhere else. And then it comes to the retirement stage. And wow, it's done. but we've rushed around. We cannot get those years back. We cannot get the moments with our children back. We cannot get the moments with other people back. They have gone. And I know that my mother, I think of her, it's 5 years this year. We missed, and remember, this is not a critique, it's an observation. We missed every birthday, every Christmas, every holiday season with her. We will never get it back. And what I got with my mother in the last 3 months of her life was me caring for her and seeing a very, very sick woman. And although I value those 3 months, I wish she could have been there on my 10th birthday. That's what I wanted. That's what I needed. As we use our time, let us be clear at the best use of our time. Let's devote our time and hand it to God and say, God, I've got 24 hours in a day. Use them. You tell me how to use them. I give them to you. You show me what to do. As I close, I'll tell you one last story. While I was at the general conference for the meetings, we had a very long agenda over this 7-day period. With a long agenda to the point of the program was 84 pages. Okay, it had bios in it and QR codes, etc. But I looked at the program and thought, oh, how are we going to get through 84 pages in 7 days? And then when we arrived there on the first morning, they told us that we're going to have an hour and a half devotional every morning. So we had worship with all of the general conference, their staff and other people who were having meetings for half an hour. We then had a personal devotion in the building on our own. And then we had our own stewardship devotional. So there's me, having just finished writing this time management course with my colleagues, talking about giving it to God, sitting there thinking, how are we going to get through this? It's an hour and a half in the day of devotional time. The devotional time didn't hinder us, it fueled us. We got through every single item on the agenda beautifully. After lunch every day, we'd have between 10 and 20 minutes of another devotional time. And we just got through everything beautifully without going late into the night. And you know what it taught me? I need to give my day to God. I can't be putting God aside and God is like shifted in the little parts of the day. You know, I've got 5 minutes here, I'll talk to him. He needs to be prominent in my life to lead and to guide. And it showed me how things could be done. And I came back energized. So we should be spending more time with God, putting God first. And he says this in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added unto you. And I watched this for a week and it was the most amazing experience. So quietly, just for a moment, say a prayer and say to God, Lord, take my time. Take my time. And I consecrate my time to you this morning. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord, the hymn says, take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless prayers. Lord, may we give you our time. Give back our time. Lord, we want to give you back our offerings because we believe you're going to give us a blessing. But Lord, we want to give you back our time because our time, Lord, needs to be used for your glory. We look around the world and it's a difficult, dark, dark, dark place. And Lord, you say we should be the light of the world, but oftentimes, Lord, We cannot be the light of the world if we're just absorbed in our own lives and absorbed in our own phones and our technology. Lord, step into our space. And let us know, Lord, that you are the Lord of time. Teach us to number our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Shall we stand as we sing together, "The Saviour is Waiting"?